Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It's a Thursday in May on FFC all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. A Thursday on FFC with the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi, and I am Ben Stevens. We are live here on Sports Grid Radio up until 1 p.m. Eastern time to get you set with everything you need to know around the football landscape. Maybe some NFL talk a little bit later on, but I feel like we've really dominated that here, Joe, on Football Full Circle this week. So maybe today you and I turn our attention to college football and a couple of headline grabs that some head coaches have made in terms of speaking about the current climate that is the NIL era. Brian Kelly at LSU, Spencer Danielson, the first-year head coach at Boise State.
Yeah, I mean, I saw those comments come out yesterday, Ben, and all I thought is, well, I really am interested to see how Boise State responds from the recruiting aspect, how it affects, obviously, other players as they move on throughout their careers for the Broncos. They want blue-collar guys, not going to give out NIL money in the first year, freshman year, and that's really when you get the talent in the door, right? Boise State was at the pinnacle, you know, 15 years ago when they knocked off Adrian Peterson in Oklahoma. It's been a slow regression ever since that time, and you would think that the university and, more importantly, the head coach would embrace NIL with the opportunity to potentially get those four and maybe five-star athletes through the door, but that's not the case. They want blue-collar kids. They want to play for the program, and ultimately, this could be a give-or-take type of situation where it could affect wins or losses this coming season.
Absolutely so. And I think one of the things, Joe, and we'll really clarify Spencer Danielson's comments. We'll talk about what Brian Kelly said down in the Bayou that has infuriated some with LSU's struggles this offseason in terms of recruiting the transfer portal. We'll talk about it all. But one thing that I think we really express here, Joe, on this show, regardless of how we feel about this era, regardless of how we feel about name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal, and some of those evolutions to the current landscape in college football, there is one thing that I think we've always stressed. Whether you like it or not, it is the reality. So either figure out how to have success in the reality, or you bemoan it and dislike it, but that is going to cost you perceived success in this new atmosphere, right? Like, if things are crazy, that sucks, and nobody is going to say that your job has not become harder and the demands on what you are trying to do to re-recruit players in the transfer portal is different than what we have seen in the last 10, 15 years in college athletics. It makes your job more difficult, more annoying, and it's a free-for-all that has no restrictions whatsoever. I think we can say that with full honesty and transparency, but also then again say you're paid millions of dollars to try to figure out some landscape of how you get through this, try to figure out how you adapt to this new time in college football, and thus you must. If you reject it just because you think it's dumb, you're going to be left behind. You have to make even small adaptations to figure out how to have success.
Yeah, you do, and I think there's two different types of head coaches. You know, the old school, blue-collar type of head coach, and we could throw maybe the great Nick Saban into that and Chip Kelly and some of the others that just want to coach. They don't want to deal with right. the outside noise, the NIL or even the transfer portal to much of a degree, right? And then there's the changing of the guard, the newer head coaches that actually embrace NIL, embrace the transfer portal, and I think two of those coaches we've talked about at length throughout the offseason, Dan Lanning and Lane Kiffin respectively, maybe they do it in different ways, but they're still embracing the program, embracing the current landscape of college football, and that's why ultimately their teams are poised for success. Now, that doesn't mean either, Ben, that Danielson and Boise State won't potentially live up to expectations or over exceed expectations, but you're really putting yourself at a negative from the get-go, and then, you know, if you do, let's say, limp to a 500 or sub-500 season, you then can't complain, oh, this whole landscape is killing me because you failed to embrace it. So that's where these coaches are at a crossroads. Either you buy in or you take a step back and say, you know what, whatever happens, we'll deal with the repercussions.
Yeah, absolutely so. And just to clarify what Spencer Danielson, the new head coach for Boise State, said, who took over last year on an interim basis after Andy Avalos was fired after a 5-5 start for the Broncos. Spencer Danielson led them to 3 victories, led them to the L.A. Bowl where they fell short. I believe, Joe, if I'm not mistaken, did Boise State won the Mountain West title game, right? A year ago?
Yeah, they did.
They knocked off who? UNLV, right?
Yep.
So
UNLV, yeah. Yeah, it was UNLV.
It was a successful short stint for Danielson. I remember the video before the L.A. Bowl of Boise State's athletic director walking into their football team meeting and announcing that Danielson was going to have the interim tag removed and made their head coach. It was part of the handicap for the L.A. Bowl, thinking Boise State would go out there and light things on fire with that motivation to play for the skipper. Did not turn out that way. But regardless, Joe, when you look at Boise State a year ago, 7-2 in conference in the Mountain West, when you look at Boise State as a whole in just a moment, they're still one of the more successful programs in college football to have that pedigree. Maybe in Boise, Idaho, there's not the NIL money in Tuscaloosa or in Columbus or in Eugene, but there's still going to be that investment for a football program that really reigns supreme in that state and often in that area of the country. So when Spencer Danielson's comments came out yesterday, reported by somebody who covers Boise State football, that NIL money was not going to be given to any freshman at Boise State, and then clarified, it's important to get that clarification. What Spencer Danielson actually said when meeting with the media at the end of spring ball is that unlike some other areas, the Boise State NIL collective was not going to promise, or the Boise State football program was not going to promise deals with the NIL collective so that you would make $2.5 million or $2,500 or whatever the value is as soon as you stepped on campus for Boise State. You would have to earn that recognition. However, if they got a 5-star recruit or whatever it might be to play for Boise State football, and that individual were to negotiate with the NIL collective, they are entitled to do that. Spencer Danielson has no right and legally cannot limit NIL money going to any of his players, certainly not the freshmen, but just there would be no guarantees of in the recruiting process, hey, I know you're being recruited by Arizona State, Oregon State, and Washington State, but if you come here, we'll give you $1.5 million right up front.
You know what's intriguing and sort of ironic is it comes after they get the big USC transfer, Malachi Nelson, who's a redshirt freshman. So it's a twofold type of question. Did they throw a boatload of Nelson to come, you know, money to, for Nelson to come to Boise State and then say all of a sudden we can't do this for everybody, so let's dial it back? Or are they trying to keep him in check? Now, does redshirt freshman still, you know, fall under that umbrella? First year, right? First year in the program? I mean, that's something that I think needs to be understood as well, because that's legalities, right? You know, yeah. I'm a first year student. I'm a redshirt freshman, but I played in a program before. It is ironic, though, that Nelson most likely will be implemented as a starting quarterback. He's a 5-star guy, and now Danielson comes out with about 100 days left in the regular, you know, before we kick off 2024, and he's saying, I want blue-collar guys.
Yeah, and again, words are different than what happens in actuality. Spencer Danielson, again, even as the head coach of Boise State football, has no legal right to deny payment based on what is legal, name, image, and likeness, to any player on his team, not freshman, whatever it might be. He can say, we are not going to guarantee you, as this football program, millions of dollars from our NIL collective in our recruiting strategy, which I think is what he was trying to insinuate yesterday, but he can't actually stop NIL payment if that is available or if the individual and his representation do negotiate with one of the collectives that Boise State works with. That's the big difference. We'll have this further conversation and take it into what Brian Kelly said for LSU football, because that's a different stage in and of itself. We'll have that conversation up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. So again, Joe, we're having the conversation about Spencer Danielson, the new head coach at Boise State. Last year filled in on an interim basis, had the interim tag removed, and became the permanent head coach for Boise State. In a quote or a report that was tied to Danielson yesterday and his words about not guaranteeing or not allowing freshmen entering his program to make NIL money. As we have given further context to that, Spencer Danielson wasn't saying if you're a freshman, zero is your NIL return, just that in our recruiting process, unlike some other programs, we're not going to offer you a blank check or a check worth $1.5 million to come to our school to outbid you in that process. We want guys to do it the right way. It's what he was insinuating, despite what the reports were. And what I will say about that idea, Joe, again, you want to make sure that you are embracing, albeit the chaos, but embracing this chaotic landscape in college football. If you are rejecting it because it seems asinine, and it is, this new NIL era and transfer portal era, you are going to be left behind. It is the reality. Whether you hate the reality, love it, or just feel so-so about what your current construct is, if you want to embrace it and continue to have success, that's what you have to do now in this NIL era. So I understand what Spencer Danielson's actual point is as the head coach for Boise State, but if it leaves you and does a disservice to any potential recruits out there, transfer portal or otherwise, you might be setting your program back in this current juncture.
That's the biggest takeaway that these comments have, is that let's say you're a 4 or 5-star potential athlete. You live maybe within the Boise, Idaho area, or close on the West Coast or Midwest for that matter. And let's say Boise State is on your radar. Well, do you even want to challenge that if you have another, let's say, competing type of school on the same level or maybe slightly under or slightly above? And they're throwing money at you. I mean, it's just common. You know, most of the time, 90% of those type of situations, the kids are going to go to where the money is. Does that make it right? No. But if you're trying to build the program, that's a negative and a setback right from the get-go. Not only that, forget the head coach, right? You're really putting your staff and your recruiting coordinators at a disadvantage, right?
Yeah.
Because now, if they're going up, and I'm not saying that they don't have to do their jobs, but if you're going to a respective recruit's house or meeting with the athlete and you go, hey, Ben, guess what? Over here, they're giving me, you know, $40,000 just to come and visit. You know, what are you giving me? Well, we're not yeah. doing that. Well, you know what? Save the plane fare. Give it to somebody else. And that's the negative that these recruiting coordinators and assistant head coaches have have right from the get-go. So, again, the X's and O's are one point. The other part is what you do off the field to keep that influx of talent moving through the program, because what happens is if you don't have that talent, then you get the high highs, 10-2, and then all of a sudden you could dip to maybe 4-8, and then you're out the door. You're not even a head coach anymore.
Right, but that will hopefully not be what Spencer Danielson has at Boise State. Again, 3-1 last year, leading them to a Mountain West championship game and victory, a loss, albeit in the L.A. Bowl. When I look at Boise State, Joe, and this is still kind of crazy to see where they are, and Joe's right, they've fallen off just a little bit in terms of their overall success the last few years. A Mountain West title, nothing to balk at last year, and 8 wins. A double-digit win season the year prior, with another appearance in the Mountain West title game, and of course a victory in the Frisco Bowl. Then they were 7-5 the year before that, 5-2 in Brian Harsin's last year, which was the COVID-shortened season in 2020. Prior to that, though, under Brian Harsin, 4 consecutive years of double-digit wins. Boise State, Joe, is one of 9 FBS programs around the country, nationally, in the last decade. 9 FBS programs to win 73% or more of those games. App State is one at the Group of Five level. Everybody else, the big boys in college football, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, Michigan, and Notre Dame. Those are the 9 FBS programs in the last 10 years to win 73% or more of their games. More than 90 wins is another way of looking at it. That's pretty spectacular, and that's what Boise State is still trying to sell itself as out there in Idaho.
Yeah, and that's what it is. They have the opportunity to get back on top. I think you look at some other teams in the Mountain West, Air Force, that's been very competitive.
Yeah.
UNLV with Barry Odom on the up and coming in regards to being a better, you know, a team offensively and defensively. Now, they lost to Boise State last year, but I want to say the Mountain West Conference from top to bottom has gotten more competitive. Boise State used to be the team and then everybody else. That's not the case anymore, you know, and that's showcased in regards to 7-8 win seasons that we've seen. We saw San Jose State and Brett Brennan a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
Win the Mountain West Conference that season. So again, there's always an opportunity when you're a head coach to get that talent in, but this is a tougher job now. You know, it really is now with the expanded 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
You know, these group of five teams, like a Boise State, like some of the others, are saying, you know what, we're paying you money. You know, there's no excuse anymore. We understood it when it was a 4-team college football playoff. Now get your ass into the top 12. Teams like Tulane and Liberty would be in the mix last year. We have to see how Boise State and Danielson respond this season.
You would think, Joe, the Mountain West and their scheduling alliance with Oregon State and Washington State, they would be that non-Power 5 conference more than likely to have an opportunity each and every year to be that non-Power conference, at least in the 12-team format, to earn that automatic bid as the highest-ranked conference champion from the non-Power conference level. The Mountain West is certainly going to be in the bidding for that. Obviously, there are teams like a Liberty, like a Tulane, in other areas, a Memphis perhaps. But the Boise State Broncos in the Mountain West are going to be in that running. Now to the Power Conference level at LSU with Brian Kelly's comments up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. There is no doubt about it. It's a new era in college sports, and certainly in college football that we see time and again. And Joe, as the spring transfer portal window around CFB is winding to a close, at least being able to enter the transfer portal for the players still in the portal trying to decide on their next destinations, that can happen wherever. And it has not been an overly productive transfer portal offseason for LSU. LSU, a team that we believe is going to be ranked in the top 10, top 15 in that preseason AP poll, a team that we expect to contend for a college football playoff spot. In fact, Joe, out of the 16 now SEC teams in that conference, with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas, LSU ranks second to last, only in front of Mississippi State in terms of their team transfer portal ranking this offseason in 2024. They've only taken in 7 transfer portal commits, and again, they rank second worst. This all ties into what Brian Kelly had to say earlier this week. In a sit-down interview with WAFB, that is a station, a TV station in Baton Rouge, Brian Kelly said, quote, "We are not in the market of buying players," end quote. Joe, what was your reaction to what BK had to say?
Well, I think he's right to a degree. I think, you know, teams like the Pinnacle, like we're talking about, you go to win national championship first, right? And that's what Nick Saban had said at the end of his press conference in regards to what players wanted. Hey, coach, how much am I being paid? How much am I making? You know, how long are you going to be there? That's the difference, I believe, in terms of the disconnect. Yes, LSU will pay to a certain degree, but they ain't going to throw, you know, boatloads of money at some of these players just to get them in the door because their wide receiver U or D-back U or LSU has the potential each and every season to be in the college football playoff, just like Georgia, just like Alabama, and all the rest. That is the difference, I believe, in regards to those elite schools or a school like Boise State on the group of five or even a lower tier type of level. You could even throw Miami into the mix in terms of how much they threw potentially at Jaden Rashada a couple of years ago. It was like $9 or $10 million, right? Because the rights deals, they're still going to get it somehow, some way, whether it be, hey, we're going to groom you to be that number one draft pick in the NFL. You're going to be a first round selection. You're going to play for a national championship. You'll get your money other ways as opposed to just up front. Right now, the reason why I believe Brian Kelly said that is there were rumors regarding Baton Rouge that Dominic Williams, the five-star transfer, offered and requested a 7-figure deal from the NIL collective of LSU. And the collective turned it down and said absolutely not. And then Kelly came out and said those comments in regards to buying players. So that's the rumblings regarding, you know, the fan base wanted Dominic Williams and the coaches, and obviously the collective NIL team decided against it because Williams would be making more than any other player on the roster, number one, and only second to Brian Kelly in terms of salary.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things here then to pay attention to. And you're right, Joe. Dominic Williams apparently wanted something more than $1 million, and how crazy this thing got. But with all of that being said, it does also go to say what Brian Kelly was trying to refer to here. And that's probably what he was leading to. There was also some speculation that Derek Harmon, the transfer from Michigan State, the big interior defensive lineman, was garnering some attention and makes his way over to Oregon. But yes, Dominic Williams, the TCU transfer running back, was the guy, the prize defensive tackle, was the guy that people looked at to be that next big guy up front. And a lot of this, Joe, ties to the idea of the defensive tackles, Derek Harmon, Dominic Williams, being the main central pieces in the spring transfer portal window, knowing the DTs were going to get paid in this transfer portal market. And so I think what Brian Kelly really was trying to mean here, but did not do a good job of kind of illustrating his point, was that we reached out to these players, we were on the brink, but realized they were not worth the value of which they were trying to receive. And that's fine. If a guy enters a transfer portal and he says, hey, give me $2.5 million or I'm not even considering your program, you can say kick rocks. But the idea that you can't buy players is inaccurate, especially in a place like Baton Rouge, when the pressure is on you to have the best and most talented roster year in and year out. Because you have to be in the market for buying players. It is just the current landscape in college football. We'll continue that conversation up next as we keep rolling on here in this hour on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. So Brian Kelly says, Joe, that LSU is not in the market of buying players. He further went on to say, unfortunately, right now, that's what some guys are looking for. They want to be bought. Brian Kelly, again, further explained. You often need context. You can't just take five words of Brian Kelly saying we are not in the market of buying players and think that is the entire thing. Because Brian Kelly furthered by saying, if you like all the things that we do here in developing our players, bringing you into a championship program, playing in front of the best fan base in America, playing for championships, and having an opportunity for NIL, you should be a Tiger. But if you just want to get paid, this is not the place for you. That sounds pretty common sense-based, right? That sounds like most things that fans, players, athletes, coaches, and staff could all get behind. We're going to develop you. You're going to have those NIL opportunities at one of the biggest programs in college football. You'll play in Baton Rouge, in Death Valley for one of the best fan bases, and you'll compete for SEC titles. That should be a great selling point on its own. What Brian Kelly stopped to say, though, was the idea that in a bidding war for a player in the transfer portal that is driving up their market value, LSU is not going to be there just to guarantee you a salary to come to your program. You need to earn it a little bit as well, and all of those other selling points should weigh in your decision, maybe not as heavily, but should weigh at least in your decision as to why you choose that program, not just the dollar value of your NIL deal. Some of that is lost in the words, and some of that might be lost in the reasoning, and that's why we have the conversation.
Yeah, and think about this. I just think about, like, the recruiting landscape back in the day. You could even say the mid-90s, right, Ben?
Yeah.
You know, kids living in Alabama either loved Auburn or Alabama, right? They grew up thinking about playing for the Crimson Tide or the Auburn Tigers. Same thing growing up in Louisiana. Either, you know, depending upon how close of the state of Texas, maybe you thought Texas A&M, or LSU, right? Those big three. It's not the case anymore. More, right? I mean, you know, so what if I play in a $100,000 fan stadium? So what if I'm playing, you know, for a national championship? It's about the brand. You know, some of the kids are more involved and more concerned about the brand, how much bottom line they get, as opposed to even stepping out on the field and competing. And that's where I think the coaches, some of them, are at a crossroads in the sense of, hey, we'll pay you if you're worth it. Right, you know, worth that value, but you're not going to come here and say, "Hey, coach, Bama offered me $200,000. Can you give me $300,000 and then I'll come to LSU?" They don't want that type of player. They want a player. Hey, I love LSU. I'm dedicated. I'm willing to play. I'll do whatever it takes. And oh, by the way, you know, I would like to be compensated to some capacity. Right? There is a difference in both of those types of viewpoints.
Absolutely so. That's a great point, Joe. It's a great point, right? You're still going to have your NIL opportunities at a program as large as LSU with all the funding that LSU and the resources available down there in the Bayou for this Tigers football program. But I think the point of this is my market value, pay it or I'm not even coming to your campus, and now I'm going to have a bidder's war between this program and another, that's where people start to step back. But there still is the idea that LSU, who needed to address the interior defensive line position this offseason, has failed to do so. And Brian Kelly even said, listen, frankly, it hasn't gone very well in terms of what we were targeting in the portal and the returns that we saw. Dominic Williams, who Joe mentioned, was kind of the floated idea of who LSU was targeting that, you know, was rumored to ask for something in the seven figures, around $1.2 million. Does not go to LSU. Don't know what his NIL deal looks like to go to Oklahoma, but that's ultimately where Dominic Williams made his determination. So he goes to the SEC, but just to OU. Derek Harmon, another defensive tackle from Michigan State, ends up going to Oregon and will play his college football now in Eugene. So LSU did not capitalize on that, and because of it, they are now sitting second to last in terms of the transfer portal team rankings within the SEC. But again, the idea that we are not in the market of buying players, whether Brian Kelly truly meant that or not, is incorrect. You need to update and you need to adapt to this climate in college football. You might not want to buy players, but you need to have that financial and fiscal investment to lure a player to your program. You hope it is not the only reason. You hope the hunger is there to get developed, to win games, to play for championships. But sometimes, at least in this current climate and in this NIL era, that comes with a price tag at times for the best players in the marketplace. That could be a steep price tag.
Yeah, and it's almost like the older coaches, it's almost like taboo that they could come out and say, oh, pay for play, right, to some capacity where we know that's the landscape. You know, you couldn't say it back in the day because of the NCAA, you know, violations that you would commit, and we know that it was being done, obviously, with Jeremy Pruitt and, you know, go back to the days of the death penalty with SMU, right? It was, you couldn't say it because then you get caught and your school would be on the death penalty. Now it's acceptable, and some of the old coaches like BK don't even want to admit, hey, pay for play. Yeah, that's it. That is why Lane Kiffin's doing so well. Then Dan Lanning as well. They get it. They'll come out and say it. You know, and that is the difference between, I want to say, the old school type of coach and the changing of the guard, the younger head coaches that understand, hey, I have to embrace it. I have to obviously acknowledge it, right? And then I have to work with these players, not only to get them in the door, but then once they get the money, then I have to coach them up. And that is the other concern for some of these coaches like Brian Kelly. And listen, I think LSU will be fine. Will their defense be any worse than what it was last year? Probably not. Only time will tell. But, you know, to get Dominic Williams in the door would have been a great add to that front seven.
Their defense was not good last year, often atrocious. It's why they would play in track meets. It's why they played so many games to the over. 9.5 is the win total for LSU, however, entering 2024 in the new age of the SEC. That's a pretty good win total. It's higher than that of Alabama's, who has a win total of 9.5 technically, but the under has the juice. LSU not necessarily favored to make the college football playoff, but plus 116 for the Bayou Bengals to get there, minus 142 for LSU to miss. They are going to be at least, Joe, in that CFP conversation. You think maybe with the addition of a couple of defensive players this offseason, that could have only heightened what the Tigers are going to look to do this upcoming year. Of course, it's not Jaden Daniels anymore. It's more than likely going to be Garrett Nussmeier at the helm of this offense, and they lose their two top targets of a year ago in Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, and they always seem to have talent in regards to the wide receiver position. They do have C.J. Daniels that'll step up, and Xavion Thomas as well, two big play wide receivers. I'm not worried about the wide receivers. I'm worried and a little concerned about the rushing attack. They lose Logan Diggs. My guy Josh Williams will be there with Garrett Nussmeier. Nussmeier is just a prototypical guy, so that RB, a prototypical QB, right? So the RPO game is non-existent for the LSU offense. How does this look and affect, you know, the point, you know, differential this season? Because they're going to chuck it a ton, I can tell you that. Nussmeier might throw it 40, 50 times a game because the rushing attack, I think, is going to be a little bit less, especially with Emery in the transfer portal. So it's going to be up to the offensive line and those wide receivers. Again, are they the best team on paper in terms of the SEC? No. But I would take that 116 bet. I think BK is that good of a coach to potentially get the Bayou Bengals in the top 12.
And listen, Brian Kelly is that good of a coach. You want to be developed by Brian Kelly to have success at the next level, to have success even here in the SEC. But we'll see what that means for the Bayou Bengals this year. Their defense cannot be nearly as atrocious as it was a year ago and expect to earn one of those college football playoff spots. Joe, we now turn our attention from the SEC to the ACC as we continue this transfer portal conversation, because there is only one power conference football program that has not taken in a single transfer this offseason. And the answer to who that is might surprise you. We'll discuss which program it is and why and what it means for 2024 next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. So I said right before the break, Joe, that there was one, only one, a single Power Conference football program who has failed to take in even one transfer portal commitment this offseason. And the answer might surprise you. Joe, do you have any guesses at who that team is?
Clemson.
Yep. You are correct. The Clemson Tigers are the only Power Conference team, and that includes Notre Dame, so make that 68, that has failed to take in one transfer portal commit. They have not taken in a single transfer, and 12 players have left the Clemson Tigers football program this offseason. Joe, there are three FBS college football programs that have not taken in a single transfer this offseason. It's the service academies, Air Force, Army, Navy, and then the Clemson Tigers. It's pretty crazy because Dabo Swinney has been on record as saying he does not like this new era of college football. He questions NIL. He was on record a few years ago saying the day that players get paid in college football, he will quit. He hasn't done that, but he has quit recruiting the transfer portal as Clemson has not taken in a single player. And Joe, the transfer portal really has grown to the level it is in the NIL era since July 2021. So we have now seen three college football seasons from that time, July 1st, 2021 till now, the 2021 season, 2022, and 2023. And you can clearly point to those years not being at the standard of the years prior under Dabo Swinney in Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, and we talk about the dominance, right? So, like, up until a couple of years ago, right, they were, I think the number was when I did it, 74-7 in the ACC over the past eight or nine seasons, dating back to maybe it was 2014. And then last season, well, in 21, they were 5-2 in the conference. They won the ACC a couple of years ago when they knocked off Drake May. They were 9-0 with Klubnik when he took over 39-10. But last year, they fell off a cliff, 4-4 in terms of the conference. So they almost doubled, right, their losses in conference in one season that they potentially had over the previous nine. That's how bad of a season last year was. And we saw Florida State, you know, win the ACC and dominate with a 13-0 record. They lost that game to the Seminoles in Death Valley in a very good game in overtime. But they lost week one to Duke. So, you know, Dabo's been very outspoken. He has said he doesn't like the transfer portal, doesn't want to embrace it. Well, guess what? Your program's regressing. Nobody wants to go to Clemson anymore if you're not giving out money or you don't want to, you know, challenge for a national championship. So there is a problem and a disconnect. The problem is now that you're not getting five-star talent anymore at Clemson. You're starting to get four and maybe three-star talent. You don't have the coordinators like you did in years past with Jeff Scott, Elliott, and Brett Venables. And now all of a sudden time is catching up to you. So you tell me, I think this is a crossroads season for Clemson. They need to step up. I mean, they're up against it because Cam Ward and obviously Martinez are with Miami. Yeah, you know what you have with Florida State and DJU. They're potentially the fourth best team behind Louisville as well. So we'll see how this plays out. Not an easy season for the Clemson Tigers.
When you look at Clemson, Joe, when you look at what Clemson had been capable of accomplishing in the first 7 years of the college football playoff era, they had made it to the college football playoff in six of those first 7 years, six consecutive years entering 2021, only to not have reached it in the last three. Now, Clemson did rally at the end of 2023 in terms of winning five consecutive games, and that ended with a victory in the Gator Bowl to finish with nine wins. But Clemson was 4-4 in the ACC, four conference losses for the first time in the ACC since Dabo Swinney's second year as a full-time head coach back in 2010. That is how bad That is how bad the Clemson Tigers were a season ago. The first time Clemson did not reach double-digit wins in a season, finishing with only 9 since 2010. And part of that is because they were unable to address areas of need, mainly at wide receiver, to try to help a guy like Cade Klubnik play the quarterback position. The Clemson offense has stalled over the last few years. We thought it was going to be DJ Uiagalelei taking over for Trevor Lawrence. That didn't pan out. Last year under Cade Klubnik, that didn't pan out either. And that's really where you would think then, if you were a smart college football coach and wanted to embrace a sign of the times, you would say, how do I make my team better? Well, I'm going to go out into the transfer portal, being one of the biggest brands in all of college football, and start to attract talent that is out there, just embracing the current climate and landscape. And Dabo Swinney has failed to do that. And we have seen the return in terms of the production and the results on the football field, right? Last year, Tyler from Spartansburg calling and Dabo Swinney clapping back on his radio show. Things are not exactly optimistic, I would say, in Clemson, South Carolina, as they had often been in the first 7 years or so of the college football playoff era.
No, you're right. And, you know, it started with Trevor Lawrence and ETN. All I could tell you is they were averaging around 240 rushing yards per game, well over 5 yards per carry. And the offensive line took a hit because, to your point, they had no speed on the perimeter. After Justin Ross went out the door, they had no elite speed to take the pressure off the offensive line. They became one-dimensional. And what happened? That relied on the defense. The defense held up for much of the years, right, up until Venables was there. They still only allowed less than 100 yards per game last season, but they're a one-trick pony. They can't just light it up like they could with Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. All the pressure then fell on Klubnik. He was a deer in the headlights in certain games, especially in the second half against Florida State, and now they need to step up. They need to change their identity. The problem is that time isn't on their side, Ben.
Clemson last year ranked 59th in college football, averaging just shy of 27 points per game. The last year that Clemson made the college football playoff, the Tigers were 4th in the country, averaging better than 43 points per game. We'll continue the conversation next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, only one power conference football program out of the 68 in total has failed to take in a single transfer this offseason, and that is Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers, which has left many, and I mean many, Joe, questioning what Dabo Swinney is doing. Because when you compare it then to what we have seen in terms of production, when NIL became legal in July of 2021, it's been, by Clemson standards, not everybody's standards, but Clemson standards, a pretty bad three-year run in Clemson, South Carolina. Just one ACC championship. They won it 6 years prior to 2021 consecutively, and only and zero college football playoff appearances. So, Joe, it's an interesting time for this Clemson team, who also has failed to rank inside the top 20 in terms of scoring offense in any of these past 3 years in the NIL era. In their final year before NIL went into effect, they ranked top 5 in the country at 43 points per game in terms of that scoring offense.
Yeah, you know, now you could take a silver lining, I think, off of last year and say, hey, Ben, you know, 3 of their 4 losses came by a touchdown or less, right? The only game they technically got blown out in was week 1 against Riley Leonard and the Duke Blue Devils. Now, that's still a knock on the resume because that's a team they used to pound over the years with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, right? You lose to Duke week 1 run right out of the gate and you were never in that game in the second half, that's a bad showing on the road, right? Mm-hmm. Three of their four losses came on the road or on a neutral field. That's another negative. So there's good and bad in terms of last season. The problem is that, hey, when you look at some of the elite teams, just look at Washington last year, right? J.J. McCarthy for Michigan, Jaden Daniels for LSU. All the elite teams have elite quarterbacks for the most part, right? You could even throw Jordan Travis statistically in that mix. He was a Heisman Trophy winner for much of the year last year with Florida State. Where is Cade Klubnik? Is he the guy? Is he not the guy? He's a five-star recruit, but from what I've seen in terms of his performance, he's nowhere near the progression and trajectory of Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence. So if he doesn't elevate his game, what does really Dabo have for the Clemson Tigers? They're up against it. They're fighting with teams like Cam Ward and DJU now in Florida State. We knew in regards to Jeff Fromm how he cultivates quarterbacks up for Louisville. So where are they in the mix? They're not even in potentially, the third or fourth best team. So unless they can take that next level as it relates to the quarterbacks, this team is going nowhere.
Well, I think part of the reason, Joe, is because they have failed to produce offensively. They have failed to approach the transfer portal to make those acquisitions and additions that could benefit a Cade Klubnik or a DJU before Klubnik became the starter a season ago. Clemson is favored right now at minus 215 to miss the college football playoff, which is intriguing, seeing as one team out of the ACC at least is going to get there. In Clemson and Florida State at this moment separated by only 30 cents to win the ACC. FSU the favorites at plus 270. Clemson second best number at 3-1. Miami at plus 450. Louisville at 6-1 and NC State at plus 650. The five teams with three digits in their numbers.
Yeah, and you look through their depth chart and you look through, the schedule. It's not going to be easy because, again, Malfa is the starting running back. Does Troy Stellato or Antonio Williams put scare into anybody? Look at what Florida State did last year with the additions that they had. They get Keon Coleman, an immediate contributor to allow them to win the ACC. Those are what the other teams are doing right now. And, again, you're right about the additions from an offense. A perspective. This is a vanilla offense. I don't even think that Maffa is as good as Will Shipley was last year. So you can even make the argument that the running back room took a hit. They haven't gotten anybody in there. Hopefully these players can live up to expectations, but if you're not going to transfer the talent in, you're putting your team at a disadvantage, not just offensively, but defensively. That defense for much of the season kept them in games, and then towards the end of the regular season, fell off a cliff when they had that three-game losing streak. That can't be the case anymore.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. You're spot on. That's not the standard. Maybe in a different program that works. In Clemson, South Carolina, and to Dabo's credit because of what he built, you are expected to win the ACC bare minimum. You are expected to win double-digit games. You are expected to reach the college football playoff. And frankly, you should be playing for a national championship. That is the standard, but Clemson has wavered from it. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle is back tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.